have to say is probably a very difficult act for me to follow, because I am neither a scholar nor an academic. I might be the little goldsmith sitting in the shop, Nikki, but that's about it. And I have been given the, what I'm going to say, unenviable task of following two fantastic speakers who have really managed, I think, to enliven different parts of us. With Inderpal Kaur, what we have is a lot of questions. Questions about what it means to be a woman, but also questions about what it means to be a man in this world, what it means to be a feminist. And to me, Sikh feminism is really an answer to that question. What does it mean to be a man and a woman in this world? Because Guru Nanak, I do believe, truly was the very first feminist. Without question, without debate. And the fact that the very first feminist, true feminist, also was a male, I think answers the question for many of our brothers in this room of what it means to be a man. Because that vision that Guru Nanak had was a vision of an active man, of an engaged man, of a man who cared passionately about his world. I'm sorry, I'm not good with standing still in one place and having all of these barriers between us. That's not really how I do things well. So we're going to try to do this a little bit more comfortable for me. Bear with me, people. This will work. All right. So, to me, Guru Nanak's conversation that he has was a conversation about who we are as a people and what it means to be these people on this planet, trying to follow not only a spiritual journey, but a personal, social journey as well. And so when we listen to our stellar speakers, what I want to talk and focus on is really the topic for this morning for us, is what do we know? Well, we know a couple of things. We know that to be a Sikh is to be a feminist, first and foremost. We know that the definition of feminism varies from individual to individual. But fundamentally, feminism is really about understanding the fact that no woman, no person should have their fate determined by their gender, and no person should have their fate determined, in fact, by the family in which they were born, their socioeconomic status. That they are free as humans to interact with each other without social and economic boundaries. And I think that really fundamentally is what feminism is about. So if we all struggle with that word, let's put it out there, let's get rid of it, because it's not a barrier for any of us. Because I think we all agree, every single person in this room, if you agree with that basic premise right from the get-go, that feminism is really about getting rid of barriers so that gender does not determine my destiny. If we believe that, then every single one of us is a feminist. So we've taken care of that very first, what I'm going to say, fundamental question or issue that arises in a panel such as this. But I want to take it one step further. I want to talk about why then, if we know this, why then, if we believe this, why then does Punjab, the birthplace of Sikhi, have some of the highest rates of gender selection in all of India and in the world? Why is it that in India, women are 900 out of 1,000 representative as the population, but in Punjab, 792 out of 1,000 girls are female? When in fact, the world population sits at about 52%. That's what we're supposed to be. Where are those missing girls? And why are they missing? If Guru Nanak's vision, if Guru Nanak's Panic, the birthplace of Sikhi, was in Punjab. Why is it when Nikki talks about this profound, profound belief in education, Punjabis are still amongst the most uneducated in India? Why is it that we talk about a forward-thinking vision, social activism? There is so much apathy in our community. Where does it come from? How is it possible? And I struggle with this because as a social activist, I always try to reconcile the two halves of our being. The intellectual half, the half that has these thoughts, these processes that says, this is the way the world should be. But then the other half of us that says, but I don't want to be the one that makes the world that place. But why not? Isn't that what Guru Nanak was? We talk about Guru Nanak's journey. This journey, this travel, it wasn't just a physical journey. It was an inward and an outward. It was the outside embodiment of how to behave, how to interact with the other. But the inward journey was about completely disintegrating this concept of the other. This evolution of the self so that I don't see you as other than myself. That I see your pain as my pain. This fundamental capacity and ability to feel empathy, that is what it means to be a Sikh. Every single one of us has the phenomenal gift of being able to tap into that amazing reservoir of knowledge, of guidance, of information that Gurbani gives us. But why don't we? What is it that stops us from doing it? Is it because we don't know how? Is it because we're afraid of the repercussions if we step forward? Because without a doubt, taking a step forward requires energy. And taking a step forward, when you're doing it against the grain, against the flow, requires even more energy. Is it worth it? We can only answer that question for ourselves. But I think if we want this world to be the place that Guru Nanak envisioned, that in our heart, in our minds, in our souls we want, then we personally have to do something about it. And this is why, to me, activism isn't about just going outside and putting up banners and flyers and giving speeches and all of the things that many of you may say this little write-up talks about me doing. That's not true activism, I don't think. That's just a part of your being. It's a part of what you do. But the goldsmith that Guru Nanak talks about isn't just physically making gold, but is actually completely reimagining, re-internalizing those physical actions for personal change. And so I think as women, we can be agents of change in every sphere of our lives, and we need to be agents of change in every sphere of our lives. Part of that agency of change begins at the home, the place where we actually have the most profound amount of influence. Inderpal Gore talked about the language of victimization. That's how most women are seen and visualized. That's how feminism is interpreted by the world. Women are victims, and we need people to understand that we have had that we are the victims of oppression and of this and of that. But feminism is saying we want to free ourselves from that distinction, that definition of women as victims. We want to see women as being people. And we want the world to see us as that. Because I am not a victim. Have I suffered and experienced oppression and abuse or all of those sorts of things? Probably all of us have. in some way, shape, or form. But that is not what defines us. And that is not how Guru Nanak envisioned a woman either. Guru Nanak's vision of a woman was not a victim. Guru Nanak did not go out and say, you should not kill women, you should not do this. Guru Nanak's vision of a woman was the Guru, the very first teacher of the child, Puta Mata Ki Asis. The Mata in that shabd is not the biological mother of the child, but the spiritual guide, the Guru of that child, the very first Guru that that child will ever meet, the very first spiritual teacher that that infant newborn will ever know, is her or his mother. And so a Sikh feminist embraces her femininity. She embraces the fact that she's a woman and a mother. And she embraces the fact that she has the capacity to be all those things and still to interact with her brothers and with every other individual and being in the world on a profound level. On a level where there are no barriers. Where she visualizes a world where there is an ability for us to be able to expand our interactions so that we can actually improve all of the world around us. When I think about what Nikki did, I actually haven't intended to do this today, but I think I'm going to, because Guru Nanak ended Japji Sahib with the Khans, but began with the Mool Mantar, which I think is actually one of the most profound beginnings of a spiritual journey and of a social activist journey. And what I want to do is talk about my own understanding of the Mool Mantar, because I do not see it as being a stagnant enjoinder to remember this creative being. But I see Mool Mantar much the way that Nikki sees the Khans in all of Japji Sahib, which is, it's a call to action. It's a call to moving yourself forward. So let's begin with that. Ek Omkar. There is one eternal being that is all-embracing. The external, the parallel, there is I. Satnam, whose name is the one that exists. I exist. The creator of the universe. I create my own reality. Urk, the consciousness that permeates throughout all of creation. I live in a state of awareness. Nirbhav, that which has no fear. I am fearless. Nirvair, that which has no enmity. I live in harmony with the universe. Akal Murat, that form which is not bound by time. I live in the present. Ajunni, that which is unborn. I honor my life. Sabang, that which came into existence on its own. I rely on no one but myself. Gur Prasad, which can be realized with the grace of the Guru. I follow the path of the Guru. Just those few phrases, that's all it takes. Understanding, but not here, in here. And then translating that to here. The gun, the action. If we, each of us, simply did that, I think that we could be phenomenal agents of change, which is the vision that Guru Nanak had, and which, deep within each of us, the vision that we have. We just need to give ourselves the permission to do so.